Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. The Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. This is Dustin Hockensmith, Ross Tucker, Greg Pickle. Here again, we are talking blue-white, and we're putting this under the Tucker's tape umbrella. Usually what you do is you look back at a guy. We're going to look ahead to what you think the tape will be for the blue-white game. This Tucker's tape segment brought to you, as always, by our good friends at GoPSURV.com.
Love GoPSURV.com, primarily because I love the tailgate. And I really like when somebody I know has an RV so I can go to their RV and eat their food and drink their everything. And I talked to a bunch of them. They're frustrated because now with Penn State, you have to get the season pass, which is why our guy Mark realized a unique business opportunity at GoPSURV.com. You can actually do single games. Look, I love Penn State football. It's fun to watch and everything. How many people can really go to every game? I know there are people that do. But there's a lot that can't. You go to one or two. That's what it's all about. You can arrive Friday, leave on Sunday. They'll even take you shuttle to and from the stadium. I'm also big on shuttles dropping me off places, right? So there's a lot of things here.
Yeah.
I know. Like, I'll just take the shuttle. I wish I had a shuttle like to go from upstairs in my house to downstairs in the basement. I'm just going to take the shuttle.
It's one of those stair seats.
Yes.
It exists.
Yes.
Go get it.
I could get that. So anyway, just a couple minutes from the stadium. They've got the shuttles running constantly, charcoal grills. I mean, our boss, Jim, is meeting guys on planes that say, that GoPSURV is awesome. I had to pay $1,500 to get an RV pass for the Ohio State game last year, the whiteout game, the Michigan game, I guess. So it's a very practical company that serves a purpose. GoPSURV.com. Maybe if I can get to a game or two, maybe you'll see me there. I think like Blair Thomas cooks breakfast or something. I forget. Anyway, I might have just made that up, but just go give it a shot anyway.
Go find out if he's lying or not. GoPSURV.com. So you can use those services this weekend. We're going to look at blue-white here, Ross.
I love blue-white.
I don't have any notes written down. I usually do, but this is just all about what you're looking for. It's just something that Greg and I discussed a little bit earlier in the week, so we'll be ready. We have what we're looking for, but what are you looking for out of this game?
So, you know, it's interesting because, you know, this week we're also talking about my position rankings, right? So you could easily say, let's see what happens at tight end. Let's see what happens at running back. And I'm with that. You know, some of those positions, linebacker, right? Who lines up where? How do they play? Those are the obvious ones that are probably what you guys are going to come up with and what you guys are going to talk about.
Hipster Ross, what are you counterculture looking
so
for?
We're off the radar here. Let's find out.
No, but I'll tell you, I to think about this question, I thought about last year. And like certain hints of things that you start to see that you're a little bit worried about. And I remember last year watching Ryan Bates at left tackle thinking, I don't know about that. I don't know if I love that move that he's at left tackle right now. And I thought that played out during the season. He was good. He's a good player. I probably would have preferred if Brendan Mann stayed at left tackle. I thought they moved around too many guys last year. They were not as productive last year on the offensive line as they were the year before. They brought back like 5 or 6 starters. You know, there's no reason why they took a step back last year, and they did. So I want to see where Bates lines up. I want to see where Fries lines up. I want to see how Michael Mennett plays at right guard. I want to see some of these young guys like Miranda, who I thought looked good in the game last year, and C.J. Thorpe, who looks like he's got the mindset that I appreciate in an offensive lineman. So, I'm an old offensive lineman, so I guess that's what I'm looking at. But my point is we're not even getting to them in the position ranks this week because we haven't ranked so high, but there's still questions about where these guys line up and how productive they really will be.
So, number one, I'm not surprised that we're leading off with the offensive line. Because of you, and really because of where this position group.
They're getting crushed, by the way, Dustin.
It's the most scrutinized offensive line that I've ever seen.
So I got to tell you, you guys know most of the stuff I do is NFL stuff, right?
Yeah.
It is so, every time we have a guy come on the radio to talk about Saquon Barkley, they're like, Man, that offensive line for Penn State was not good last year. And they weren't. They're right. They were not as good as they should be. When there was a big hole, he pretty much took it for a touchdown every time. So it's just funny to see guys that don't watch Penn State on a week-in, week-out basis. They're studying Saquon Barkley and thinking, whoa, what's going on with this offensive line? It was supposed to be a strength last year, Greg, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. It's why you have to take it with a grain of salt this year. You know, everything you hear is good and well, and everything's going in the right direction, and they have more depth than they ever had, and yada, yada, yada. I get all that, but it's hard to, after last year, what we heard and what we saw, it's hard to just dive headfirst into this notion that suddenly the line is going to be a strength of the team and all the things that have ailed it's going to be fixed. It's just hard to do.
I think the offensive line, we mentioned it, Bryce Love and Josh Adams. Bryce Love from Stanford, Josh Adams from Notre Dame. Every time you turned on a game, you saw a hole that they were running through that was 12 dudes wide. And Saquon Barkley, I can really only think of like three or four times where he had holes like that. And because of the nature of the offense where they're stringing things out and making decisions a little bit later, any flaw in your offensive line can be exposed in that situation. You hope that they're better. Is Penn State better with if they have that alignment where Will Fries is on the left and where Ryan Bates is on the right?
I don't know. We're about to find out. You know, that's one of the things that I'm going to look at really closely. Where do they put those guys? How do those guys perform? How does Mennett perform at right guard? That's one of the things that I'm looking at.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State blue-white spring game with Ross Tucker and Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. These are the things that you're looking for, Ross. And the offensive line is great. And really, one of the grain of salt sort of asterisk here is that you're not going to see a lot of projected starters get a lot of snaps. So with the offensive line, three of those guys that you mentioned, C.J. Thorpe, I don't know if you mentioned Des Holmes or not, but I'll mention it now, and Mike Miranda. Those three, it's kind of like the next wave, it seems, for Penn State. And I want to see what they look like. Not necessarily the success they have pushing around a scout team player, but what do they look like? What's their attitude? How do they move? Those kinds of things.
Nope, I agree. We talked about it in an earlier segment about the defensive tackle. I want to see the backup D tackles. You know, I want to see this is a big opportunity for Hansard, for Bolds, for Shelton to kind of stake their claim that they deserve to be in the mix in the rotation defensive tackle. So, you know, things aren't always live in spring practice. The blue-white game is like one of the rare opportunities where things are really live and they're going to be able to go through and see what these guys can do. So those are big ones that jumped out to me.
The defensive tackles, I know we mentioned them in the context of your position group rankings, but really, you know, the starters are not the issue there. The issue is, can they possibly go that 5 and 6 deep that they want to? Because as soon as you get past that surface level, your projected starter, Windsor and Kevin Givens, you have questions about Ellison Jordan, whether he can stay healthy enough to play 12 or 13 games. Antonio Shelton, we haven't seen much. They seem to be high on him. Those are the guys that you're really penciling in and hoping are your number 3 and 4 guys. And then after that, you got a couple redshirt freshmen that they're really hoping can be their number 5 and 6 guys in Bolds and Hansard. It is not an ideal position. And just like the offensive line, seeing what the next wave is made of is what the blue-white game will be for.
Yeah, and I'll just add to that. I'm a little surprised, and Greg, I want to get your take on this. I'm surprised that Buchholz has not moved to defensive tackle. Yeah. I really thought his high school physique, his body, I thought he'd be a 3-technique defensive tackle now, like Kevin Givens is. And they have so many other guys at defensive end that I'm a little surprised that they haven't moved him to defensive tackle yet.
It's really surprising to me, too. I mean, we saw him work at a limited role in that position, mostly playing end, doing a little bit of sliding inside him and Givens at times a year ago. But I thought, too, that they'd bulk him up this offseason and put him at the 3-tech. It's a little bit surprising they haven't, considering you're right. They have so many defensive ends that rotation is plenty deep. It would not have hurt Penn State a lick to move him inside, and it might have made him a little bit deeper, too.
He probably will in nickel.
Yeah,
I would imagine he's going to rush from the inside with Givens.
Yep.
And then they'll bring in Shaka Tony or Simmons to rush off the edge. So, and teams are in nickel so much that maybe they look at it like
he's already
going to be inside 60% of the time anyway. I also am curious to see Sean Clifford.
Yep.
You know, it'll be our first time to see Clifford at quarterback, and, you know, how well he performs might help indicate how much they'll be able to use Tommy Stevens in another role this year.
And I think they seem to like him. You know, I think coming out of school, the one thing, his senior year at St. Xavier was not – he had a variety of injury things happening. And that was my only kind of concern of him coming out, because we talked to him. We talked to him more than anybody. He was the John Goodman of the Keystone Sports Network. He was on the show often. And I just – I liked the way that he carried himself. You can tell that –
yeah, he was awesome.
Physically, you know, as if you look at Trace McSorley as a high school prospect and Sean Clifford as a high school prospect, I think Sean Clifford was legitimately a better high school prospect in a lot of different ways. They're similar players, but Clifford is a little taller. I think he's a little quicker. I think he might have a little bit more arm talent than Trace McSorley did as a high school senior. So those things bode well. You just never know where development kicks in.
Also curious to see the receivers, specifically like Polk and Hamler. We talked about this last week. Greg, I want to get your take on this. I'm a little confused by moving Tompkins inside where Hamler is.
Yeah.
When they've been saying such great things at Hamler, then you move Polk outside where it doesn't seem like there's as much competition for reps there. Like, splitting time between Hamler and Polk inside with Juwan Johnson and Tompkins outside made perfect sense to me.
Right.
Moving Tompkins in to split reps with Hamler, that seems weird to me.
Run him through our theory.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it our theory.
It's the Justin Shorter theory. Yes. I mean, that's what it is. It's that he comes in and he plays from day one opposite Juwan Johnson, and that Penn State gets snaps out of Tompkins in the slot, and they rotate Hamler through. I just think that Shorter is a guy that plays from day one, and that Tompkins will play outside too. Like, there's no question about that, but I think they wanted to get him rep. I think this was more about Tompkins than it was about Polk. That's how I see it.
I think also they probably just want to make sure that Tompkins or somebody has that position versatility.
Right.
So that if there's an injury, Tompkins could play either or. Plus, that position was the money position at receiver last
right.
year. You think about what DeShaun Hamilton did, and I think that they probably look at it and say, we need to make sure we have a guy that's very reliable there. And I don't know that they can say it about Hamler as a true freshman right now,
right.
who'll be a redshirt freshman, and Polk. I don't think that they felt that comfortable with those guys. So I think just seeing the wide receiver rotation, how that works, will be interesting for me too.
Yeah, I think they had to be ready if Justin Shorter is the real deal. They have to be ready if Justin Shorter is not the real deal. I also think that mixing and matching and showing different looks and having guys who are redshirt juniors, Tompkins and Polk, allows you to maybe throw a few more things at them and ask for that position versatility. If they go 3-4 wide, you can show a lot of different stuff to opposing defenses. Any closing remarks for Blue White? Any little thing?
Yeah, I think it's a big concern if Penn State doesn't find a way to get this win. I mean, it's the first game of the season. You know, they're playing at home.
You got to go 1-1.
They got to get the win. Are they doing ones versus twos again, or is it going to actually be split up?
We'll probably find out later in the week. I usually keep that one close to the vest until later on.
Got it.
Shades of Greg. Ross asked a question now. We're going to ask all the questions of Ross. Ask Ross is coming up right after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all you can eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.